Job chapter 3, from verse 1 to verse 26. Job's outburst. Well, now we reach the difficult part of this difficult book. Thus far, it's been relatively straightforward, I think. But now we're entering into a very difficult series of chapters. I propose to deal with these chapters in large portions. I want to deal with the dialogues between these comforters and Job in large sections. But in this discourse, I want to start where the book starts, with Job's initial outburst, Job's complaint to God. I think it's more than that. I think it's an outburst, a cry from Job. Let us look briefly at it. A word of warning, of course, about these passages. There is much here that is figurative. There is poetic language here. It's not always easy to enter into it, to understand it, to appreciate what's being said. What is more, we must remember that though it's in the Bible, it is part of Scripture, it does not mean that everything that these men say is right. It's an accurate record of what they said, but it's not necessarily right what they said. And we must be careful with that. I don't pretend that this will be an exhaustive or a definitive discourse or series of discourses. It's just some thoughts on the book of Job. And I put them to you that you might consider them. I want to consider them too. And I want to act upon them. And I hope you do as well. Job's outburst then. Well, it's very clear what he's doing here. He's showing us the real torment of this attack from Satan. This is a very real attack. He feels it, this man. This is not an imaginary psychosomatic or something. This man is suffering, and he's crying out in anguish and anxiety and depression. He's at a very low place indeed. Oh, God, he says. Oh, God, put a curse on the day I was born. Indeed, the passage opens. Finally, Job broke the silence and cursed the day on which he had been born. Oh, God, he says, put a curse on the day I was born. Put a curse on the night when I was conceived. And he wants it to be blotted out of memory. Oh, that I'd never been born. Oh, that men never mentioned me. Oh, that I never existed. I want that day cursed. I don't want to remember it. It's not a blessed day to me. I look back now and wish I'd never come into the world at all. But he's not cursing God, of course. But he is cursing his day. Curse that night for letting me be born, because all it's done is expose me to trouble and grief. Job is forgetting here the years of blessing and joy and happiness. You see, it's all gloom, doom and darkness to him now. I wish I had died in my mother's womb, or died the moment I was born. Why did she bring me into the world? Why did she nurse me at her breast? Why should she fondle me? Why did she bring me up? Oh, that I had died. You see, then death I would be with the kings and the princes, the rulers, the magistrates of the world, the rich and the mighty. You see, death is the great leveller, he says. You see, you can be a prince today, but you can be rotting in the ground tomorrow. You can be a pauper today, but you can be in the same place as the prince, rotting in the ground. You see, it's all peaceful there. These rulers, kings, great and mighty men, these tycoons, these men of magnificence, they can build their mausoleums and their monuments. They can raise their statues and all the rest of it. But they're all the same in death. Death is the great leveller. In the English Civil Wars, there was a sect called the Levellers. They wanted kings and magistrates, rulers and judges and paupers and peasants all to be brought to the same level, which we are, of course, we're all flesh and blood. But the greatest leveller of all, of course, is death. It will cut us all down to the same level. And Job sees that. He knows that'll be the end of his sufferings. He knows it's the end of sin. He knows it's the end of everything, in the sense of men going, can't go on sinning once they're in the grave. In the grave, wicked men stop their evil, and tired workmen find rest at last. Prisoners are free there. Everyone is there, the famous and the unknown, and slaves at last are free. And he longs for it. And he cries out to God, why do you let me go on living in this misery? Why do I have to get up every day into this depression and sorrow? And he longs to die. He can't eat, he mourns, he groans, he has his fears, and they're all coming upon him. I have no peace, no rest, and my troubles never end. So this is Job's outburst. Now, I like the honesty of Scripture. Very much so. It's not a pretend book. It tells us as it is. And Job's sufferings and Job's trials were very real. And he felt them. And he cried out. The psalmist does it. Brother and sister, God understands this. We're not Stoics. We're not the stiff upper lip people. We're not the buttoned up people. Cry out to God. But Job is wrong here. Job misunderstands. Depression, sorrow, pain, sadness has so afflicted him, he cannot see straight now. Yes, this is part of the word of God. But Job, you are wrong. The best days are not over. God is working his purpose out. And it's not as you say. Death is the great leveller in the sense all is at peace there. You see, my friend, the truth is, this life is temporary, but death ushers it into the eternal, permanent state. And as a man dies, so he will be. In other words, if he's outside of Christ when he dies, he will be forever outside Christ. And he will never know peace. Here's a picture of Job in his life now. What will hell be like with everlasting torment? Oh, you don't still believe in that? I do. The Bible still declares it. Christ declares it. The Word of God is very clear upon it. Of course, I know the fear of this, the dread of this. And that's why I preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no salvation outside of him. Let Prince Charles say what he want about all ways leading to God. No, it's not true. There is only one way, and that's Jesus Christ. Job, you haven't got it right here. There is a way out of this misery. And death is an entrance into glory for those who are in Christ, and only those who are in Christ. But brother and sister, are you depressed this morning? Psalm 73 is a great help here. The psalmist was like this. He was depressed until he got his mind set on the truth of God. Poor Job can't see here. We have the advantage of knowing the truth behind these events. Job is in darkness here, and he feels it. But as I say, he curses his day, but not his God. I'm not here picking fault with Job. He shows us where we are when we cannot see straight. Brother and sister, we get here sometime, and I don't want to be like that. But unbeliever, you're here all the time like this. You have a distorted view, completely. You probably feel it's all happy and well for you. You're as wrong as Job was. Let us eat and drink. Be happy and enjoy ourselves, for tomorrow we die. Now let's have the pleasures now. That's all you can see, my friend. What a misjudgment. Get ready to meet God. Amos the prophet says, prepare to meet your God. Job is not in that way. He's not deluded, but he is blinded to the reality of what's going on. And sorrow can do this for us. Look to the Lord Jesus again. Psalm 73, I say again, read it and see. It's when you see from God's point of view, when you recognize that God is working all things for good to you, even these things, my brother, even these things, my sister. Yes, they are working together for good. See the truth of this. See the reality of this. And of course, blessed be God, the Lord Jesus suffered such anguish as this. He suffered such attack from Satan as this. When he bore our sins, brother and sister, he bore our sins and he suffered for us on the cross. He was tormented. It became dark. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Job is saying it. Why let men go on living in misery? Verse 20. Christ cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And because Jesus suffered that separation, brother and sister, we never shall. Job's outburst. It wasn't all right. But we can get benefit from it. We can learn from it. An unbeliever, if you will heed it, there is a warning to you here. Seek the Lord while he may be found, and that means now. Now, call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Let us learn from Job's outburst. May God bless his word to us. Amen.